start to pay attention to it and recognize it. Like, I'm telling you, I was excited before and honored before, but I'm amped up beyond belief now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you put that like just a little bit more in front? Yeah. Perfect.
Okay, how's
perfect.
That? Good?
No, you're good. I'm so happy you're here.
As am I, clearly. Hey. I gotta bring it down a notch.
No, you don't. Hey, this is John. This is Home From Here. You know this amazing lady because you did the show already. But I went and saw her, and what was amazing has now become heavenly. I'll put a link to her other episodes so you can learn more about what she does. But this is Shayna Moore, and you are a...
I am a medium.
Yeah. And a...
An empowering medium.
An empowering and... Can you be a badass medium?
I could be technically whatever I want to be.
Okay. So we talked before about the work that you do. Most of the work that you do is related to connecting people who are here with people who have gone.
Absolutely. And you said it best. Well, you say it best now, but also the first time we met and connected here, me being a facilitator, and I just absolutely adore that word for the context of what we do.
Right. One of the things you're really good at is confidentiality. You can put, and then there's a little knob. See where your headphones plugged in?
There's
like a little knob. That's volume knob if you want to turn it up or down or whatever.
I pump up the volume.
Yeah, yeah, if you can.
As long as I'm not too loud.
No. And I can change it if you are, so don't worry about it.
Okay, good.
So when I had you on the first show,
yeah.
I was excited because I'm like, I'm going to talk to you about what the process is. And you said, you know, it's really, and the professionalism, I much respect. More people need that. But you're like, look, I it's a confidential thing.
Right.
And, you know, I can tell you kind of philosophically what goes on, but I can't tell you what actually goes on because I have clients. So I'm like, okay. So I figured, well, you know, the best way to get that experience would be to come see you. So I went and came and saw you. And what before we get started, because by the end of this, I'm going to want this number. The best way to reach you is what?
Sure. Well, my website, shaynamoore.com. I'm also on Facebook.
Yes.
Shayna Moore Empowering Medium. Google, I have a profile there. So I have a few platforms where I'm visible.
Okay. So I pull up, and your house has a vibe to it. And there's a sign on the front that says, what's that sign say?
So the
front, the one that says you're working right now. It says I'm in session.
Oh, yes, yes. I think I've since changed it. It may have been in session.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, like for this kind of thing, to have professionalism on top of it is so nice because it frames things. It makes it a safer space than just walking in and rolling the dice and thinking, okay, well, you know, she's just gonna pick off of what I say and cherry pick, and
right.
I will have wasted an hour. But but you get the vibe coming to see you that wait, no, she's taking this seriously. Don't ring the doorbell when I'm doing the work. And then we hug, and then you said, don't tell me another thing.
Right. That's my catchphrase.
Yeah. And it's so hard not to, but I said, okay. So we go up the stairs, and we sit down, and you have, like, a gorgeous office.
Thank you.
Office. And a little bit of – there's, like, a little bit of music going.
Yeah. Oh, you noticed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there's, like, a little bit of music going, and – you kind of walk me through, like, okay, this is, and I will describe what it is. Shane, it's like Shane's in a room. Shane's mediating between you and people you can't see. So half the time she's listening to you, but half the time she's like you're so into it, you literally turn your head. Like there's an actual sound. I don't know if there is an actual sound coming. There is?
Sure. It's all internally through my senses.
Okay.
So seeing, hearing, feeling, knowing all from within.
Okay. And so she said, listen, I'm just going to you know, I'm just going to listen and, you know, we're going to see where we go. And I'm like, okay. And then, so she sits for like, I don't know, 30 seconds. And she goes, okay. And then the music stops. And she goes, oh. And then she, you don't curse, but I will. She's like, oh, shit.
Exactly. Thank you.
Right. Right.
Sometimes spirit does, but.
Yeah, okay, good. And I'm like, and she's like, okay. So this may or may not happen as people, spirits come and go. This is like a nod because the music randomly stopped. It's an iPhone right. to a Bluetooth speaker, which right. I do that all day long. It goes 8 hours and never gets interrupted.
Right.
Am I right on so
you
far?
You are. And I just want to squeak in. I want to add that it heavily relies on your trust in that moment because it's so vulnerable to begin with. And factor in the radio's doing that. So who knows what if it's rigged, you know? So I have to be, this is why I'm so mindful of ethics and transparency. To really honor your vulnerability and the faith and trust it takes to get you to sit before me, and for the experience. So I love when things like that happen, whether it's the loved one in spirit cuts the radio out or they flicker the monitor, if I have that on, if we're on a Zoom call, if they freeze the video up. These are all things that happen. So I love when these do happen because it's like spirit's way, the loved one in spirit's way, of saying, this is a physical sign saying I'm here too, because you're sitting here just trusting in this lady that everything she's presenting, because it's all coming from within her. So here is a tangible sign you can feel a part of the situation. Now, of course, I couldn't and, you know, do the situation, the reading without the recipient, in this case. So I adore when we have those physical things that happen, because it's like it really pulls you in.
Right. And in case you're worried about trust, I'm going to tell the story I just told.
I need a notebook.
You'll have the show. You can hear the show again.
Yeah.
Do you want a notebook?
No, I'm literally doing this to remind myself with the things that happened on the way here. I shared a couple of things before we could talk about later if time is available.
Here.
And then, oh my gosh, this is so funny. She's literally taking notes on the air and he's ripping out pages of his own notebook.
Well, because
this is true.
No, because
so funny. Yeah.
Take that and.
Yeah, making mental notes.
Wait. And
look, he's getting a pen right now. Excuse, can't make this up.
Hold on, wait.
He's truly catering to my every need.
Why I'm here. By the way, I have the coolest pens in the world.
This is for storytelling. So
Stabilo pens. You know Stabilo pens?
I do now.
This is a $1.99 cent pen. It's the coolest.
Love it. Tell me if it's not. I won't steal it.
No, you can steal it, but it's the coolest pen ever.
I love it.
Stabilo. So I'm going to tell that what happened at the end. So in case you're worried about trust, because I know if you're scared, like there's might be some skepticism associated
with
this.
Of course, that's healthy.
So this establishes credentials in my mind, and it will in yours. So for 2 months prior to going and seeing Shane, my daughter comes up to me, her name is Gramercy, and her and a bunch of kids want to go on this spring break, next year's her senior year, to the Bahamas. And there's a whole debate about, is the company real? Because we can't, like, they have a website, but then you read the reviews and it's like, I don't know. And like, if I don't make the payment right now, she can't go on the trip.
No pressure.
Yeah, right? And I'm like, okay, I know if you don't pay right now, I know what that is. But there's no like flight being reserved. There's no anything being reserved. So, but like some of the other parents call me and they're like, it's a legit thing. The kids go. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I pay it. And then I find out it's unchaperoned. Except for this, like this company has staff there, but there's, and I'm like, well, I'm like, she's gonna be 17 in the Bahamas, unchaperoned for a week. Mm-hmm. They basically take over a hotel, right?
Yep.
But I'm working through this process and I'm like, I don't know if I should go. We pay the deposit, but I'm like, but I'm not talking about it to anybody.
Right.
I'm like, nobody.
Right.
And nobody knew. Her godmother didn't know. You know, Trish knew, but other than that, it was nobody knew. I didn't post anything. I didn't even tell friends because I'm like, this may or may not happen.
Right.
So we're standing in your foyer, and I'm leaving. This is at the end of it. And like so she's not tuned in. She's not, you know, in a different space listening to people. And I open the door, and she goes, wait. And I'm like, what? And she goes, Graham? And I go, Gramercy? She goes, yeah. She goes, Bahamas? And I go, what the fuck? And she's like, don't worry about it. She's going to be fine. And I'm like, there's two people on earth who knew that, and none of them were Shane. So if you need trust in the story that I'm about to tell you, just start with that. Do you remember that happening?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Holy cow. I got in the car, and Trish goes, and I called Trish, and she goes, how did it go? And I go, it doesn't matter how it goes. Listen to the story. She knew Gramercy was going to the Bahamas, and she said she was going to be fine. And So I'm like, it doesn't even matter. So what happens? So you sit in the office, and the thing clicks out. And then you go, okay, I'm just going to listen. So you listen for, I don't know, like 45 seconds maybe or whatever. And there's nice music. And she's like, your father came through. Right? And she goes, you're sitting here. You go to me. Sorry, I'm telling the story to not you.
No,
I'm the medium.
I'm reliving it with you.
And you go to me. You go, your father came through, and he wants you to know. He wants to talk first because he never talked when he was here, and I'm like, holy Christmas! He was notoriously the most quiet person on the planet.
Quiet man.
Yeah. But you said to me, you said, he wants to talk. Your mother may or may not come by. He wants to talk to you because he didn't talk to you enough in life. And there's a lot in where we are now. And he had so much that he wanted to say, but he couldn't because of your mom. And you said, and there was like a substance. I'm like, yeah, they drank a ton. And she goes, yeah, that. And so that hindered it.
Right.
And your mother hindered it. And so he wants to talk. And then you said the craziest stuff. Here, my notes. Shane is radical.
Well, I'm going to jump in here
because
this may help you a little bit with you having to take notes. First of all, I so appreciate this on many levels because I don't often get the opportunity to sit with folks and get feedback on, you know, after the fact. Because a lot of the information being channeled leaves me. So it's kind of a work hazard with my memory, you know, not
right.
really. Once in a while, it's not to say I don't ever remember readings or parts of, but generally speaking, it leaves. It's just,
right.
It's the nature of the work. So, you know, as you're sharing, you know, it definitely does spark the memory. It triggers.
Oh, jump in, please.
Yeah. So, I'm listening and appreciating that.
So the first thing you say to me, so you're talking about him and you're like, and you said like, he's very happy that you're well known. Right?
I remember that.
Yeah. He goes, he's very happy that you're well known. And he said, that's something he wouldn't have been able to say when he was here, but it's something he can tell you now. He's very happy that you're well known. And I was like, okay, go ahead.
So this is so cute and funny because I remember this very clearly, correct me if I'm wrong, it might have been towards the end, if you will, of the session. And I kept seeing, like, famous. And
yes.
I think I even said that, but just to really, he really wanted to illuminate where you are now.
Yeah.
You already are, you know, in his mind. So I love this. I love this part. I'm excited. This is why I'm telling you. I want, you have the floor. You have the mic. I'm interviewing you.
No, that's good.
I love this.
So then you said, okay, there's something about his hands. And you said, you know, he wants you to acknowledge his hands or he wants to, and I'm like, he was the quietest guy in the world, but he was a tool and die maker. and a fine art painter, and he could build anything from anything, and he had like the most magical hands.
Right.
And I kind of read that as, oh wait,
he made clocks too, or
like, he could. Tool and die makers make parts for everything. They cut. They basically cut parts out of steel. Right. You don't do it anymore. Now machines do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's telling me that so that I know it's him. Because if you weren't in his family, you wouldn't have necessarily known that. And so I'm like, okay, that's a thing.
Distinguishing characteristic.
Yes.
Yes.
So then you said, and this is where it gets like ready for creepy, in a good way. Then you said, okay, wait a second.
I'm so glad you understand that I forget a lot, but I also appreciate when.
Well, you do this 500 times a day, so this might not stick out, but
I do remember this. Though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you go to me. You go, wait, there's a Margaret.
Yes, I remember her.
And I'm like, wait, what's a Margaret? And she goes, you have an Aunt Margaret. And I'm like, oh my God. And I had forgotten that I had an Aunt Margaret. It gets weirder.
In the moment you had forgotten.
No, like, for years I had forgotten I had. I mean, she was like in Ohio, and I saw her once and just never dawned something you don't think about. So I'm like, oh my God, you're right. I have an Aunt Margaret. Session ends, I go home. I'm on Ancestry DNA because,
right?
I have another Aunt Margaret. So there's two Aunt Margarets.
Two significant Aunt Margarets.
And I had forgotten both of them.
And
she was just passing. She was just essentially passing by. She didn't have any like message or anything. She just wanted to step in the room and step back out. But I'm like, there's no, if you're skeptical about this, there is no way. I have never said a word about my Aunt Margaret because in 40 years.
Right.
I've totally forgotten about it. Then you said, okay. She goes, okay, so your dad's happy that you're well known, and your dad's proud of you that you overcame and broke the cycle. And like, that's something people kind of know about, but the fact that he would be proud of it is, and that's something he would not have been able to tell you until now. That's something that people don't know. And I was like, wow, that's really, and you said, and he's something about the legal system. And I was like, well, yeah, I was arrested and put in jail. And he's like, and you said, but you overcame that. And I said, yeah. And you said, he's really proud of that, but you didn't know that either. So I'm like, okay, this is it. Forget trust. Now I'm just it's like watching a movie. Now I'm like, holy crap, what else? Then you said to me, all right, he's talking, and then you said, Rick, and I'm like,
what? I remember that.
I'm like, what about Rick? She goes, there's a Rick that wants to say hi.
Okay.
I had a cousin Rick who passed, who I haven't thought about or mentioned in 20 years. And I'm like, holy Christmas Eve. That's just amazing. And again, he didn't come with any life big changing message. Just wanted to almost like stick his head in the room and say, hey, it's all good.
So I'm sure I said then, I'll say it again now. Dude, I love those are shout outs. They are super significant and meaningful, but they're short and sweet so as to not, grab the mic away from the primary loved one that we're with, in this case, your dad.
Yeah. But again.
Shout out.
Yeah. But again, there's no way you would know about Rick. I barely know. I forgot about Rick. Very nice guy.
Right. And that's, just like you say, it's in part his intention, too, that he's still there in a new way.
Right.
So that's often why they will pop through.
That's amazing.
Take your time. I love this. I'll fill in here. Like, I love that you're leading this because now I'm sure that you understand or have a better idea of why I'm so ethically conscientious of privacy and boundaries. And, we go deep here. And even in this case, even right here, right now, I'm still at the mercy of how far you want to go. Or actually the other way around. Like, I am honoring your life and story and your loved ones in it, on this side and the other. So I'm still respectful of how far you want to go with sharing because, this is your show.
Well, I want people.
And I mean that in a deeper way. Not
well, thank you. No, but
not
I,
that this isn't important.
I really want people. I mean, I'm a skeptical guy in this area, and I want people to really understand what a session with you is
thank
like
you.
Because if you know, I get there might be question marks about it. It's
right.
not, you know. It's not the scientific method. You can't repeat the experiment. You have to embrace that there's other things you can't see, things you – which, by the way, obviously. But, you know, it – and I've since referred people to you who love you. And so
– and I thank you because I've already met one.
Awesome.
And I thank you so
and
much.
And loves you. And
thank you.
So then you said – then you said, and you didn't know this. You said your father wants you to know that he and your mother are your family. And I'm like, and we were both like, okay, yeah, okay. And then you said, no, they, for some reason, they both want you to know that they're your family.
Chills
got it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I know what that is. 'Cause, and then I had to tell you. No, I was adopted, and I just did ancestry DNA, and I know, like, the names of – and you're like, okay, it makes sense. They want you to know they're your family, meaning the people
absolutely.
You were talking to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the adopted parents.
I loved it then. I love it now, and I'll just add in again, you know, another significance with the synchronicity of having two special Margarets in your life, right? But – relevant to your story and the circumstances, the new Margaret, if you will, you know, is a big part of, you know, where you're at in life. So everything has meaning. Everything spirit presents in every way has meaning, but they always know how to lead up to the deeper meaning. You know? So in line with... they're going to mention Margaret because it's in line with the ancestry.com
right.
and all of that. And it's just humbling.
Yeah. The other thing you walk away from a session with you is a real confidence that where I'm going after this is going to be okay.
And mission accomplished. That's the empowering part.
Yeah.
John. That is, you know, if I can hear. You know,
please, with, jump on that mic a little bit more. Sorry.
Why I'm,
there you are.
I refer to myself. You say badass. I choose empowering medium.
Fair enough.
But to break it down, medium is obviously the opportunity. The intention is to validate that we are, in fact, communicating with your loved ones in spirit through the evidence that they share, showing that it's them. Yes, that's my loved one. But also, equally important, to empower you to take this experience and run with it and grow with it. So when you say what you just said, that is exactly in line with why we do what we do. It's to light you up.
And it did, because one of the things I thought – and now I'm going to cry. One of the things I thought –
I got that before, so I'm with you.
Okay.
You're just catching up.
Always. One of the things I left – I'm driving back, and I was so blown away by the whole experience. I'm like, wait a second. I never have to stop talking to Gramercy. Like, I never have to say goodbye to my daughter. And it was – that was just such an amazing – even entertaining. I'm like, wait, because, you know, when I have kids – I've only had one. But, you train yourself that the natural order is I have to make you okay for when I'm not here. And there's going to be a last time I see you. And I'm like, well, wait. And then I'm driving home. And I'm like, well, wait, no, there is no – or I was driving to do a show. And I'm like, wait, there is no last time I see you. That's amazing. Like anybody, there's no last time I see Shane.
That's the forever connection.
Yeah.
Forever existence.
But it's remarkable when the case gets made so convincingly to you. Like I've been in church a long time. This was way more convincing than church. About
any way, any pathway that leads you closer to home. Is the way home. Sometimes you have to take detours to find your way, but it's the way that resonates with you most that brings you the clarity and really helps you to shift into that space of knowing and believing and trusting that it is home. So in other words, church, whatever and wherever you are in the moment is never wrong. It's never a mistake. It always leads you home.
Yeah, but this led me home.
Right, but I'm saying...
No, I'm not saying church was a mistake, but I'm saying church is, you know, and they say it, church is in part faith-based.
Absolutely.
I don't need faith in this experience because I was there and you said stuff that no one could have said. You remember stuff I don't remember. That's not, you know, so I didn't... Go ahead.
You know, I so appreciate this, and it also brings me a couple steps back to, you know, skepticism, and, you know, because it really shows your perspective where, you know, your point of view in the past to now based on the experience and really everything led you up to where you're believing now, right? But being a skeptic is healthy, and I actually did a little short little video on it on Facebook about it's healthy to be skeptical because there is still a level of openness about it where I was comparing it to cynicism. That's really kind of very closed off. So I welcome skepticism. I've often get people inquiring upon booking or a point of contact where they just admit that they're, you know, skeptical and they're scared, and, you know, I put them at ease to say that's okay. First of all, we all are. It's human nature. So, but the fact that they label it and define it as skeptical is, it's good. It's a good sign because there is some level of openness about it.
Right, right. You're at least in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last note I had, and then I have a ton of questions. Are you ready to talk? Okay.
Rapid fire.
The last thing I had was you said, okay, you know, we were wrapping it up and you said, feathers. They want you to keep something about feathers and they want you to keep looking for feathers. And I was like, holy feather. So when I was going through all my crap, I decided I'm going to pick something. And I can't get through this by myself. I'm gonna pray. I can't get this by myself. I'm gonna look for something, and it's gonna be a sign. And whether it's just me tricking myself, so that I'm in a better mood, so that there's some hope for 45 minutes,
right?
Or it's an actual sign of an interaction with, because what was happening to me was so bizarre that I need reinforcement that there's something bigger than me or over this that's steering it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And my symbol was the feather. And I would just go look for feathers. And every time I went and looked, you know, I would take a walk the dog and I would see it. And I would say, all right, I'm going down that street and back. I need to see a feather. And I would. And so one of the last things you said before we ended the session was they want you to keep looking for feathers. And I'm like, how do you? Oh, well, of course, this is how you know about feathers. But it was just so amazing.
I remember that. And then, of course, that, you know, it's funny. I will add that no matter how many times I get to sit with somebody in this way, in a reading, in the setting, putting them in touch with their loved ones that have passed, it never gets old. It never loses magic. It always humbles me in my seat. For example, years ago, before I was doing this, I myself went to a medium, loved her. She's not with us in the physical anymore, but I remember one of the sessions, gone to her two or three times, and she had said something about a departed loved one of mine, and I validated it, and... you know, she just got so excited. I remember thinking, why is she so excited? She should be like used to this. She does it all the time. And now, sure as shit, look, I'm swearing now.
There you go.
I get it.
I got it.
Yes, you got it out. I get it now. It's just because it never lost its magic for her. It will never do so for me. It's just so humbling and amazing. So I digress, but back to the feathers, I remember that vividly. And then fast forward, you leave, and if it's okay to share.
Anything, of course.
I saw the logo with the lifted project of the feather.
Yep.
And just
felt
the resonance there.
Yeah.
And then fast forward again, on my way here, this is one of the other things that I had to jot down on the notebook. I can check it off in a second. So I'm driving on NIW, just chilling and enjoying the ride and excitement. I'm building it up here. Can you tell? But this is the magic. All of a sudden, you know, it's kind of overcast today, but yeah. At this particular moment, all of a sudden the sky got very blue and clear. And my focus goes up overhead, and there, I thought it was a hawk, and all of a sudden, I hone in, and it's an eagle.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And I'm like,
yeah, sure.
Shut the door. Or drop the mic. You know, I knew there was, listen, we could open up a huge, beautiful conversation where it relates to me, it relates to you, and the feather symbolism, the lifted project. I could embellish how the spiritual representation of the eagle is all about truth and freedom and flying and taking off and et cetera. I mean, so can you see why I was excited?
Yeah.
I still am.
Totally.
So I'm checking this off.
There you go.
There you go.
Do you know in being able to access that space, do you know Is the next – okay. Are there consequences for this life in wherever we go? It's a heaven and hell question. Are there consequences, or do we all wind up
– in this physical realm, the physical world, there are consequences to every action. There
right.
is the positive and negative. So what you put out is what you get back. So if you put out positivity, you receive that in return. And, of course, the like for the negative. So go. I was going to add or back up to when you had mentioned when you have the ability to do this. I don't remember your 2 seconds ago, your exact wording, but I wanted to just kind of tweak that and say when you choose to tune into spirit this way. Why? To remind you and the listeners that we all have the ability. It's our birthright. I've just chosen to tune into this awareness, to this state of consciousness.
You think you could teach me how to do that?
I could, absolutely, but it would again depend on what is your, you know, why did you choose to incarnate on this
right.
realm? Like, you know, so if it fits in with your, you know, your agenda, your master plan, then it will be simpatico.
It's something anybody could.
Absolutely,
anybody. Could.
It's our birthright because we are spirit before we are human. We are forever spiritual beings, having a temporary human journey.
That was one of my thoughts too. The idea that I wonder if at one point, I wonder if at one point science interfered. I wonder if at one point people you just. People naturally knew that that it's a cycle, and then science interferes, but at the same time reinforces because the energy never changes. But science interferes, and we lost that. But I wonder if in earlier times people just everybody was tuned into it. It wasn't that big a deal, and it taught you.
So the way that I like to put it is that we are all remembering who we are on the most fundamental, essential level, being spirit. We are not human having a spiritual experience. It's the other way around. So we are all remembering, you know, on different levels to different degrees. Some of us are not awakening. Some of us are awakening. Some of us aren't. And with respect to science, I like to word it this way. I see that science is finally catching up to spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I love science, you know, and like metaphysics. But I think, you know, the limitations of it is finally... It's catching up to spirituality.
Yeah, like we are starting to step away from the scientific method where if I can't repeat what happened and I can't provide, then it didn't happen.
Right.
And, right. You know, and...
Because science, you know, it's the basis is logic. It's analytical. It's practicality. It's wonderful. But the spirituality, and again, this is my point of view, my paradigm of beliefs, is that spirituality is the umbrella of all that is. Science, right. Religion, the lack thereof, XYZ, spirituality is all-encompassing.
Do you... So... Technology is emerging to the point where I was listening to this scientist yesterday, and he's talking about how, he thinks he deals a lot with artificial intelligence.
AI.
Yeah, and he and his prediction is, you know, like my daughter's going to live to be 160. My grandkids may not die because we'll be able to actually turn back by embedding ourselves with enough technology, because technology will physically be, and Elon Musk has that great thing. It's like, if you think you don't have embedded technology, put your cell phone down, because you do. It's embedded on you, and that's actually true. He's like, because, you know, the knock is, yeah, we're never going to walk around with being able to get at the internet all the time and having something else know where we are and blah, blah. I would never allow that to happen. He's like, you're doing it right now.
Right.
But so this other scientist, I should look up his name. I'll look it up for the notes, was talking about how we will embed enough technology that through lengthening of polymers and elasticity and blah, blah, there's a reasonable expectation that some iteration of you is going to live forever. What will that do to the paradigm?
I think it all brings me back to, well, we are already eternal beings. So what does it matter is if there is an alternate version of us in an alternate reality? So be it. There are many different versions of who we are. Who are we choosing to tune in on? I'm tuning in on the fact that I am a forever being, and I'm on this channel right now, on this planet, on planet Earth, with this soul group and family and friends, etc.
But it kind of doesn't not.
It's not to not to invalidate AI and what you're referring to, but I think more importantly, it's our free will and free, keyword free. There's that eagle again. We are free, eternal, sovereign beings, where at any moment, in this moment, we always have the choice to choose what we want to focus on. So, all right, there could be a mini-me out there somewhere, or mini-you, so be it. But I know I always have the power and the choice to tune into the channel of my preference, of my choice, and that's right here and now. And if that makes sense, about really honoring free will and... And it's empowerment, self-empowerment.
Do you... So you have parents that passed?
My dad, yes. And grands who were like parents, so yes.
Okay, all right. Knowing that they can... Knowing that they're observing, does that change how you live?
Yes and no, I want to say. Because there is the paradox and the duality of being spirit and human, you know, we're all going to undulate and we're going to get in our heads, and then we're going to shift back into the calmness of knowing our foreverness. If you will. So, yeah, I have my moments where I call upon them and say, can you please help me out here? I'm having a moment, you know. And so I tune in with them, and they ground me. They bring me back down to earth, get me out of my head from worrying about the past or the future. So And another way to put it, I know I'm kind of rambling, but bear with me.
You're doing great.
Knowing that they're there puts me at ease to where I'm not afraid of going home when it's my time, when I'm ready. Or for my, you know, my own family and friends. So I'm not afraid of passing,
right.
transitioning, going home. But it also makes me more conscientious of living in the moment now because it's a gift. So there's, again, a duality, a balance point of not being afraid, but also cherishing this physical existence, this
right.
physical life, this physical body. Like, you know, because I would be spitting in the face of faith and the gift of life if I were to just glorify the other side and just only want to be there. Because if I still am breathing, if I still have life, there is reason for that. So I know I'm really, you know, going on and on here.
No.
But to make the point that being a medium and doing this work, knowing that we are eternal beings and that we can tune into our loved ones at any point in time, gives me that peace and comfort to know I don't have to worry when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
For myself or anyone that I know and love, any of us for that matter. But it also inspires me to live in the moment, seize
right.
the moment, and,
right.
you know, just enjoy life because there's, again, saying the same thing in a different way, there's a reason why I'm still here. There's a reason why you're still here.
Right.
The reason why we're all still here is for us to discover, to explore and to mm-hmm. discover. So there's a gift. There's a gift of being a forever being,
mm-hmm.
a spiritual being, but it's also a gift to be a human being. So if that answers your question in a 15-minute way, how I
no,
love that my family is there. But they ground me too.
Right. So you know, there's no reason you would know. I had a woman on, her name is Perdita Finn.
I saw her
okay.
When you had her on.
Oh, okay.
And I was lit up about it
okay.
because, you know, she's in the field.
Yeah, her approach is that you can have like same as yours, that you can
right.
have a relationship with people who have transitioned and that you can ask them for things. Can you, like you said, can you help me out here, which is what made me think of it.
Right.
So this is another weird story. Now you can take from this story what you want. I'm just telling you it happened, and then you can you can take from this what you want. So I'm like, okay, Shane says X, Perdita says X. So when Trish had cancer, I couldn't work very much because it was 24/7 care.
Right.
So, and that has a financial impact.
Sure.
Now, you can take from this story what you want. So I'm out walking. I'm like, I'm just going to try it. I mean, I love Shane. Perdita seems pretty credible. So I'm like, okay. Charles and Ethel were my parents. I'm like, listen, we're jammed up because I lost 18 months being a caregiver, and so if there's a way to make money happen, now's the time. Gramercy's a junior in high school. We got college coming, blah, blah, blah. You can take from this what you want. 3 days later, Trish comes in. She goes, I have something to tell you. I'm like, what? She goes, I forgot. I'm like, what'd you forget? She goes, I bought a cancer insurance policy like 17 years ago.
Oh,
it was like, it was like $11 out of my paycheck every 2 weeks. I never noticed it. I just
wow.
forgot about it. I just bought it, but we're owed money.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
And my insurance rep was in the building today, and I didn't even think of it, but I just went up and said, just a conversation, like I didn't think of it. I'm like, you know, showed her my policy and said, is there anything else? She's like, yeah, honey. And money happened.
You can see, like, no, you're going to make me cry.
Yeah. So you can take from that story what you want, but it happened.
It happened.
You can document
that. It happens,
that.
And it's true. And it's all because of our level of openness. And I think where a lot of folks get tripped up is they ask, but then they white-knuckle grip to the outcome and kind of get in their own way. So
yeah.
When you mentioned the fact that you both kind of forgotten, that was a blessing in disguise. It allowed you to allow in
well,
that
that's,
gift.
Yeah, because I went on the walk, asked,
right.
and then totally dusted it. Right. And then 3 days later, she calls and she's like, I have something to tell you.
Oh, my God. Like, I love that.
How weird
is that? Ask and you shall receive. Just don't cling to it like this.
Yeah, that's a, yeah. that's really – right. And I have learned that.
Right.
That's
right,
the
right.
trick.
It, so – Say it again. Don't, say it again for those in the back. It.
So then I'm like, okay, we need a car. So I'm like, all right, but we're still on a budget because we're still digging out of the hole. So I'm like, okay, Charles, I need a car, and it needs to be really nice, but it also because Gramercy's going to be driving it. So, but it also has to be like hyper affordable. Forget about it. I'm on Facebook. And this guy pops up who I don't know, and he's like, hey, I have this car.
Yeah.
It's for sale. I like your show. Would you, I just thought I'd reach out to you first. Yep. And it was a great car at a great price. And I just.
There you go. Case in point.
Right?
That's just.
And you can make a little story what you want, but they happened.
Yeah.
So.
And, you're sharing it here in this capacity, but just. Documenting it yourself, like journaling that, is you sending a message to the universe, spirit saying thank you, showing I do believe, like, welcoming more. So,
well, that's it's so funny because I think that so there's that song, pray for the dead and the dead will pray for you, and then Catholicism comes, it's funeral dirge.
Oh, gotcha.
And the lyrics to that are pray for the dead and the dead will pray for you.
Did not know that.
And then Catholicism comes around and says, wait a second, no, if you can pray to the dead, you don't need to pray to our God, and then you don't need to pay our God. So we make it a sin to pray or communicate with the dead. And then, so along with science interfering with this whole practice, religion starts interfering with this whole practice. And mm-hmm. so – and then – but it works so much – that Catholicism says, well, okay, tell you what. You can pray to dead people, but only the ones we tell you. Those are called saints. And they're the only ones that the others won't listen, but these saints will listen. So because it was just working too much. It was like, well, wait, I'm talking to people who have passed and things are happening. Exactly. And they're like, all right, I guess we better get on board a little bit. So they
well
do.
Said,
do
yeah.
you do you think that – So do you think that the definition of God could be rejiggered to be the connection between all of us, not in a hierarchy, but just that?
You're answering, if I may, you're answering your own question just in those words. God is all that is. God is everything. Every one of us, everything that is not.
Without hierarchy.
Absolutely. There is no judgment. There is no, there's that oneness. So I'll take you back to your license plate with the 1-1, right? To me, the spiritual representation of 1 or 11 or 111, 1111, et cetera, is all about oneness and the collective. And all of us are one. We are all connected. All that is an integral part of itself. So if you make believe it's a big giant puzzle, and all of us and everything is a part of the puzzle. You are your own puzzle piece. I am everybody that you know, etc. So if you take away a puzzle piece, then it's incomplete. And you can't. If you exist, you are part of creation. You are part of God. God is not separate from you. God is not outside of you. God is within you, just as much as anybody that you know, strangers that you know and love. This is the interconnectedness of all of us in existence. I'm talking on this planet, in, other realms, physical, non-physical. So God, you hear me all the time refer to God. I just call it spirit. So
right.
God, spirit, heaven, source, universe, creation, etc., tomato, tomato, is all that is. Unconditionally loving. Unconditionally loving to the point that it allows us to think that there is nothing after this, etc. So God and every part of it, of of the existence as we know it is it's all part of higher power, our creator, God. It's just, it's all that is. That's the way that I like to define, you know, when somebody asks that, is God is everything, all that is. It doesn't leave anybody out or anything. So how beautiful and unconditionally loving is that?
That's, you want to know what's not beautiful? We blew through an hour.
Oh my gosh, what?
Yeah, we blew through an hour.
Okay.
First, tell people how to contact you again, please.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for asking. So my website is shaneamour.com. That's S-H-A-I-N-E-A-M-O-U-R. Shaneamour.com. My middle name is Love, by the way, so that's the French version of love. It's not just corny. It's now actually, you know,
that's awesome.
Very meaningful. I love it now. Pun intended there.
How was the motorcycle trip?
Oh my gosh, thank you for asking that as well. It was, you know, so special. It's always fun, but it was different and special this time because Darren brought his 82 and 80, soon to be 86 year old father, his parents, so on the trip. And it was epic for, you know, for Darren, for myself to see his parents enjoy that trip. So we had fun. It was special, and but now we're home, and there's no place like home.
Amen.
So thank you.
You'll come back? Because I didn't even finish my part yet, let alone your part.
And FYI, I still got notes in the notebook here I didn't get to. Maybe that's a yes.
Please?
I'd be honored.
All right. So everything I just told you really happened. And a lot of it you can just check out. And I encourage you, if you have questions, talk to Shane. She knows this journey. And I'm John, and that was Home From Here. There we go.
Oh,
I can't believe that. I looked at the clock. I'm like, you gotta be kidding.